every time it's here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. The show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack. When you're done, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AA, NA, OA, CA, GA, PA, LA, SLA, SLA, ACRRRM, SOS. LBA.
FBA.
FNA. We don't speak for any of those guys. We don't even speak that well for ourselves.
Clearly.
Thank you to Podomatic for our new rankings. Welcome to Recovery 101. God is calling. God is
Every
calling.
Every time we start recording, the phone goes off.
God is on the line. Is it a text message? God saying, good job, guys? Sweet.
It's my daughter.
It's your daughter. That's almost like God. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with...
Shelley.
And Mark.
Sweet. And we got to give a shout-out to Bill. Bill Piper.
Bill Piper.
Uh-oh.
Why?
Bill P.
Yeah? Oh, whoops. Maybe we should start over.
Oh, whoops.
It's a friend of ours from Facebook. Of where his first and last name. Isn't that an interesting thing, Facebook? Everybody's first and last name is on Facebook. So is mine. So is yours. Mark's isn't.
Nope.
He doesn't have a Facebook.
Put your driver's license, social, and mother's maiden name on there too, okay?
Yeah. And my bank account number.
Don't need it.
And my PIN.
I'll find those.
And my PIN. Shelley?
What?
Why would you be giving Mr. William a shout out?
Because I have a music stand.
You do.
But actually, Sarah went and got it for me because Bill had sent us the money to get the music stand, but I was too lazy to go and get it, so Sarah went and got it.
Sweet.
And now you have a music stand. Now you look all professional and everything.
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
And it's here, called a jam stand.
And we look all schlocky.
A jam stand. I think I stayed in a motel like that once.
Ew.
The jam stand, one-night stand, no-tell motel. Maybe
$42 a night, $17.50
an hour. You know the kind we like.
Yeah,
those kind.
Rubber sheets.
Not so much. Unless it can be a Crisco party. Well, it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze.
Okay, we have shout-outs to Marie, Fran, Sarah, Robert, and Connor.
Sweet. Okay. One of these times I'm going to send in to you, and I'm going to send in like 40. And again, you'll just give me like one shout out for all of them.
Yeah, pretty
How
much.
Many shout outs do you expect to get?
Yeah.
All I needed was the one from Sarah that said I should get an Academy Award. I'm not sure what they give people on the radio, but I don't think it's an Academy Award. But I'll take the Academy Award for the best booziness.
Have Bruce get the golden mic.
The golden mic. That's what we need. There's the trophy right there.
The humble trophy.
The golden mic.
Just the fact
that the humble trophy would be a microphone is just funny in itself.
Okay, so anyway, let's start with the hero of the week. A Marine named Dakota Meyer.
A great name, Dakota.
He will be receiving the Medal of Honor, which is the highest Medal of Valor that anyone can get. He is actually the first. We had a story not too long ago about an Army staff sergeant who was the first living Army member to receive the Medal of Honor. This is the first living Marine in 41 years, to receive the Medal of Honor. And he is receiving it for braving enemy fire in Afghanistan to find and retrieve 3 missing Marines and a Navy corpsman.
All right.
Hopefully, and he brought them all back, and he survived.
Hopefully the president gets his name right this time.
Let's hope so.
Because I'm not counting on it.
Yeah, I'm not counting on it either. Is there something that just chaps my hide about Obama giving anybody a military honor? They should be getting it from somebody who's actually in the military.
Out of all the crap he's done, that's the thing that chaps your hide?
No. You know what?
Well,
really?
I'm just saying.
Really?
You know what?
What?
President always gives the Medal of Honor.
I know. But I just have, I mean, you know, it would
every
have been the
president,
same,
whether they've been in the military or not, gives the Medal of Honor.
I know, but I would have felt the same way if Clinton had given somebody the Medal of Honor.
Let me ask you this.
What?
Did you feel that way if Bush gave it to someone?
He was in the National Guard.
He served.
Yeah, I know. I would have served that way, too. Let's see. Nam or National Guard? I'll take the Guard. You know what? And while Bush was serving in the National Guard, I'll bet not a single North Vietnamese guy got into Texas. Not
see?
One.
See?
See what a great job he did?
Yeah. It's perfect.
Okay.
Shout out to 43.
Yep. All right, the next story. Two policemen are recovering very nicely, thank you, after they were shot by each other. Trying to
but it's
apprehend.
Not Florida?
No.
Unbelievable.
In Plainville. Which I don't know which state that is. Plainville,
Arkansas?
It might
as well be Mayberry. Plainville?
It might have been Plainville. I think that's in Arkansas. They've shot each other while they were trying to apprehend a known pedophile who was attempting to get into a screening of Harry Potter. And he was armed. He reached in what looked like he was going to pull out his gun, and the officers went to apprehend him and shot each other. And he was at the suspect was apprehended by another officer.
The one who wasn't shot?
The one that wasn't shot.
Good Lord.
Okay. I wish there were fanfare for this story. Do you guys remember Christie Brinkley?
The dog?
Yes.
The Great Dame?
This story rivals the
Christie.
This next story rivals the Christie Brinkley story, and it was sent in by Connor.
Sweet.
I'm not sure I can get through it without laughing.
Okay.
Okay.
In Nashville. So automatically it's good. Nashville International Airport. Warren Kelvin, a ticketed passenger, walked into the airport, went into the security line, screamed, I'm next, pushed through the line to get to the front. When he got to the front, the TSA officials believed him at first to be carrying a baton. The reality was that he went to the airport wearing a t-shirt, a pair of sweats, no boxer shorts, and having ingested two Viagra tablets.
They thought he had a baton.
They thought he had a baton in his pants.
Wow. That guy's my hero because he's pretty big.
It's better. It gets better. So he pushes to the front of the line so that he can go through security.
What does he use to push through the line with?
His baton.
His baton, probably.
Wow. Girl's like, you're going to have to wait right here for a minute.
So he gets to the front of the line. Nobody wants to give him a pat down because he's got a gigantic boner. So they put him through the screener and they let him go through. Presumably to go and get on his airplane, right? He wasn't having any of that. He went through the security line 4 times over the course of 80 minutes trying to get them to give him a pat down.
Sweet.
Finally,
so really what you say about the TSA isn't true.
Wait a minute. Finally, a 38-year-old TSA officer named Duncan Albright, and I'm quoting here, finally, Duncan had to bite the bullet for everyone and do a thorough screening in a private security room. Duncan, a 14-year veteran of airport security, after the pat-down was over, announced his retirement and said, I'm going home to take a shower and make love to my wife. This job isn't for me. I've suddenly lost my passion for touching strangers.
Wow. Shelley really likes that one.
I'm sorry. I just love that story.
I like it okay. I don't think it holds a candle to Christie Brinkley.
No, it doesn't touch Christie
Brinkley. Oh, come on. Went through the security line 4 times. It took him 80 minutes to get on his plane just because he wanted to pat down.
You know what the most amazing thing is? It only took him 80 minutes to go through the line 4 times.
That's what I was going to say. I'm hearing
that's
people say,
oh,
you got
to be shoving
to
the front
hours.
Of the line.
Yeah, but you got to be here for 3 hours to get to. Really? That guy went through 4 times in
80
an
minutes.
Hour. Hour and 20.
Oh, you guys.
See, we look at things from a different view. You're always into this whole sex thing, Shelley. I don't get it.
Yeah.
Oh, please.
We're much more emotional. You know,
oh, my virgin ears.
Oh, give me a break. You guys suck.
See, there she goes again with the sex references.
Yeah.
She can't go like a couple of minutes without doing it.
Bite me.
See?
I think
See?
The guy.
There she goes again.
I think the TSA guy was taken off early to go to dinner with the guy he had just patted down.
Maybe.
You never know.
Never know.
All right, in Ecuador. Ecuador bans alcohol for 3 days after 21 people died from bootleg liquor.
She said liquor. See? You can't get enough of the sex thing.
Liquor? I don't even know her.
See? See? Shelly's just gone off the deep end. Liquor? I don't even know her.
They have
the rankings on the ratings on this show.
Ecuador has banned the sale and consumption of alcohol for 3 days after 21 people died as a result of drinking methyl alcohol in Los Rios province.
Wow.
The methyl alcohol was actually mixed in with rot gut, basically.
I heard about that. That actually isn't a real news story, but they were like trying to make the booze go further.
Yeah.
It did.
Oh, it did.
It went all the way to the grave.
Yeah, it went all the way to the floor.
They'd confiscated 28 barrels, each with a volume of 55 gallons so far. At first, they were just going to make the ban just for Los Rios province, but then they did it nationwide for 3 days to give the police time to...
dry out.
Dry out, shoot each other, and confiscate the rest of the liquor.
Get well.
And pat down someone at the airport.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. In Orlando...
Florida!
Orlando police arrested Jeffrey Peter Smart this morning for...
I'm guessing he's not that smart.
He's not that smart. For allegedly stealing one of the swans from Lake Eola in downtown Orlando. The cops were able to track him by following the trail of white feathers from the bird.
And poop.
And then they found him by the smell of roast swan?
No, they found the swan in Smart's front yard, about 3 blocks from the lake.
What kind of drugs was he on?
It doesn't say.
But he was.
He had to have been.
Yeah.
Because nobody just walks around stealing swans for the
heck
of
their front yard.
Yeah. I mean, like, he had to be drunk and think, I need a lawn ornament.
You know,
or
Connor
something.
Stopped for a second and said, I'm thinking, you know what they call people that have stolen swans.
No. You know what they call his house now?
What?
A swan dive.
Sweet.
Okay, let's see. Where are we now? Oh, we're still in... No, we're not in Orlando. We're in Daytona.
Florida!
Ahmed Faisal Ghad.
G-H-A-A-D?
G-A-D. Gad?
G-A-D?
Ahmed Faisal Ghad.
Gad.
Raped and imprisoned a woman. A woman who has a domestic violence injunction against him. He held her down, bit her several times.
He's going to jail for a long time, this boy.
Then set the air conditioning to cold and forced her to stand naked in front of it.
Headlights.
Then he left the woman's apartment. He put her clothes into a bag and took them with him.
So she wouldn't take off.
Because he needed to be on time for his domestic violence class.
Oh, that's perfect.
Beautiful.
This guy's never going to get out of jail.
Beautiful.
I mean, first of all, it's kidnapping, which
this was his class. This was his class project.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you can do a lot of time for kidnapping anyway. And if you're in domestic violence and you've kidnapped the other person and you're exerting domestic violence, you're going to be up.
And there's a restraining order against you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's in big trouble.
Yeah, he's going away for a while.
Oh my God.
Oh brother.
Oh my effing God.
Okay.
Well, who is it? Is that like a Kennedy kind of thing? Gad.
Yeah.
Is that like North Boston? Coast?
It's a Baston. That's a Baston thing.
Gad. Oh, my God.
Lionsgate TV has announced today that I'm quoting here, the bitchin' rock star from Mars, otherwise known as Charlie Sheen.
Charlie. Yeah.
He got Charles. A show.
We'll be returning to television in a new sitcom based on the Adam Sandler, Jack Nicholson comedy Anger Management.
Charles.
You know what I love about
that's
that?
That's perfect.
Anger Management, a movie that did mediocre money. Uh-huh. I mean, real mediocre.
It's going to be huge as a series.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Well, because he's on it.
Yeah.
They said it's going to probably be huge for about a year. But that's all it needs to be.
Charles.
There should be Charles in charge. Bring him back for that. He could play Scott Baio's part.
I'm going to skip the next story because it's really depressing.
Oh, please. We'll change it.
Well, all right then. Let's see. In Florida.
Wow.
Lawrence Roberts, 33 years old, was arrested after he tried to cut the cast off his son's hand with a 10-inch circular saw.
Oh, my God.
And ended up cutting off the end of his thumb and almost slicing off his right index finger.
Okay, you know what? He's lucky.
Yeah.
You said he was cutting a cast off his arm. I thought for sure he cut off his kid's arm.
No.
The end of his thumb is not good, but...
He was arrested and charged with one count of aggravated child abuse, a first-degree felony. Yeah. See, I told you it was depressing.
He doesn't feel badly enough.
That's really depressing.
I told you it was depressing.
Yeah, but you told us the other Christine Brinkley story was funny.
It was funny. He went through security four times. Four times.
Yeah, but he still has his thumb.
Yeah.
And then the TSA guy, quit his job over it.
Well, see, no, the funniest part of that was the fact that people originally thought he was carrying a baton. That's what makes that thing really funny. The rest of it was kind of ho-hum, but the fact that everyone thinks he's carrying a baton.
And not a pencil.
And then it turns out he's taken two or four Viagras. Okay, that's funny. Funny. This is not particularly funny.
The fact that you guys think having sex with a dog is funnier than the guy going through the TSA line with a
hard-on. No, it wasn't having sex with the dog. It was taking the dog to the vet.
Yes.
To complain that the dog wasn't that interested anymore.
Yes.
That was the funny
part.
And
the payoff is the dog's name is Christine Brinkley.
Christy Brinkley.
Whatever.
The Great Dane.
What was the guy? Watch this, Shelley.
What?
The story that will rival forever in your mind, the Christine Brinkley story.
Uh-huh.
What was his name?
Warren something or other.
Oh, yeah, Warren something or other. See, you got to look it up, but you've never forgotten the Christy
Warren
Brinkley.
Kelvin.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, you never forgot Christy Brinkley, though.
Well, I'll remember Warren Kelvin now.
Yeah, only because you've said it three times now.
Warren Kelvin.
Uh-huh.
And his baton.
Yeah.
Okay, where are we on time?
I'll put Christy up against Warren anytime. Oh, my God. That'll be the next one.
What?
Kelvin will be having sex with Christine Brinkley, and she'll be digging it because he has a baton.
Yeah, okay. Anyway.
He'll say she wasn't so great.
I'm just going to end it here then. That's the end of the boozy news. Is there a woman you love that drinks too much or uses drugs? Or maybe that woman is you. At Casa de las Amigas, we can help. Casa de las Amigas is a beautiful facility nestled in a quiet Pasadena, California neighborhood. We have beautiful flowers, soothing fountains, and comfortable rooms, all very reasonably priced. Casa de las Amigas has a superb reputation in the recovery community and society at large. We have provided substance abuse services to women for over 44 years who are in search of a productive and sober life and the opportunity to achieve it. There is a spiritual wind that calmly flows across the grounds of our facility, touching the women with a willingness they may have never experienced before now. We have 30, 60, or 90-day residential treatment programs, intensive outpatient treatment, and our sober living environment provides the opportunity to work or obtain an education while living in a safe, sober atmosphere. Our caring and compassionate counseling staff walks the women through the complex recovery process with dignity and grace. For a free assessment, please call us at 626-792-2770. 626-792-2770.
Recovery 101, clean and sober internet radio. Yeah.
Welcome back.
Your dreams are your ticket out.
Welcome back
to that same old place that you laughed about.
Though the names have all changed since you've been around. Come on, Shelly, do it. She's never, ever, ever going to do
it. Same old place you laughed about. You guys didn't even laugh at my baton story.
It was cute.
Well, then you could have changed the words and come in with another line. You could have. You did it with, why can't I be you? You said, I like sniffing glue.
I think I said, I want to sniff glue.
See, the peanut gallery's still laughing over that. See, if you came in and did one day, one day it will be mine. You'll do it. So, Shelly, what's our topic?
Our topic is kind of sad.
Oh, does it go with the calf story?
Does anybody cut off anyone's thumb?
I don't know if they were drunk enough. Maybe they did.
Okay.
I'm going to attempt to get you guys to talk about death and recovery.
Why are you going to attempt to get us to talk
about it?
Because
I'm sure something will go haywire at some point. It usually does.
Like as you, in what?
You think we'd like just go sideways on a topic?
Yeah, come on.
Just us? Once or twice.
No.
A day.
What makes you think that?
Yeah, what made you all powerful?
Peanut Gallery asked if we've ever listened to the show. We usually don't listen to the show.
Ask Sarah. Sarah will let you know if you're all powerful.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, Sarah, when it comes to topics, we're spot on, aren't we?
Train wreck.
I'm paralyzed.
Ask her which she'd rather have in political office, so Mark, you or Shelley?
Wait, that's hold on.
Ah, see?
Wow.
Sarah's she would not vote for a woman.
Full retreat.
She would not vote for a woman.
Really?
Ever? She said ever. Only if it was up against someone she really hated on the other side. So, I mean, if someone ran next time, she would, but.
So anyway, I was saying about this, you know, going
before we went sideways. Yeah.
You took us there.
I did not.
I drove the bus.
What
Shelley
do you do?
Was our map question.
How do you feel? What happens when someone you know in recovery passes away?
In recovery, specifically.
In recovery, or like if they've gone out, or something has happened. You know. The first time that happened to me was when the coffee maker that I was the secretary at the meeting that I ran killed himself because he went out and basically killed himself over the guilt.
Yes.
And I was depressed about that for weeks.
Yeah.
It colored the meeting for probably a month for me because everybody liked him. And for me, that was a huge tragedy.
Shout out to Vahe in the big meeting in the sky.
Yep.
So what did you do about it?
Well, we had a moment of silence for him at the meeting the next week.
Okay.
After he passed away. And I went to his funeral. But basically all I could do was pray. I mean, there wasn't much I could do about it.
Like nothing?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't really know his family, so I couldn't, you know, offer to help or anything like that. Because it wasn't appropriate for me to intrude on their grief. I'm a stranger to them.
Yeah.
But I didn't, you know, I had it like 9 months at the time, and I think I had a year by then. But, you know, I was still working through my own early recovery, so it was a big, huge deal for me.
Yeah.
I would assume as you get farther along in recovery that it becomes less of a deal, but I don't know.
I think that probably depends on who the person is. What about you, Mark? You've actually had a sponsee die, right?
I did. I had one of the first people I ever sponsored passed away about 5.5 years sober.
But was sober.
I was sober. Died sober.
What'd you do? What happened?
I went to the funeral and paid my respects. I was saddened by the loss. I was heartened by some words his brother spoke when his brother talked about the fact that that Jim, who was a agnostic when he came into the program, I actually found that he was praying to God the last 4 years of his life. So his brother was very, very thankful to the program for that.
You know what I think is, you know, when my brother passed away, of course not in the program, but when my brother passed away, I've noticed in program a lot of times when someone passes away, there will be some kind of event that's not really a family event. It's more like a program event. People mm-hmm. will have a thing at like an Alano club or wherever, someone's house or something, where mostly people in the program are there. And I've noticed family members being there who didn't really know that much about program because they didn't really go. Mm-hmm. And when my brother passed away and people were writing things on my brother's Facebook about how much, you know, my mom never went on Facebook. She didn't know anybody on Facebook. She didn't know any of the people my brother interacted with. And when she would go on Facebook, she would read these things people were writing. And she would call me and tell me, oh, my God, did you see what this person wrote? Did you see what this person wrote? And I found it kind of heartening that when someone passes away in program, people in program will get together and talk about them, you know, like in a many people in a good remembrance way. And when the family's there, they get kind of a unique view of this person that they've known their whole life but have never really known them in recovery. You know, I've heard people say, oh, you know, that guy saved my life. You know, he's the one that showed me this in the book, which kept me from drinking, and now I got 20 years. And mm-hmm. You know, and you see the parents or the brother or the sister or the grandmother where they're just, like in shock and awe of the amount that many people in sobriety touch the lives of other people.
What?
I was just waiting for someone to comment or jump in with a comment, or I guess that would be you, Shelly.
I don't know. One thing that I've noticed about death in recovery in the program, well, particularly in the rooms, per se, is that when someone passes away after having gone out, and presumably they died from their drinking or their drug overdose or something like that, casts a whole different light on the proceedings.
Sort of.
Yeah.
People go to the event or the wake or the memorial or whatever, the program memorial that they have at clubs and stuff like that, and say nice things about him. But then all of the back chatter is about how they went out.
Yeah.
And it's almost as if we have to keep telling ourselves over and over and over again, this person died because they went out, in order to remind ourselves, okay, we don't want to do that.
It's almost like it's almost like revisionist history.
Kind
of. The guy goes out because he got loaded and went out in a blaze of horribleness. But when we're sharing about him, we'll talk about his great, you know, how great he was sober.
How many people he helped?
He helped so many people.
Really?
He probably helped more people from dying.
Yeah, what did you say earlier? Step over the bodies?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't mean that to sound flippant, because I've known people that I liked very much that died loaded, but you know what the thing is? If I don't step over the bodies, I'm destined to become one of the bodies, and I don't want to become one of the bodies. You know, if I hang out in that thing of, you know, what happened to them and this and that and why, you know, it's like you said earlier, I have no control of that.
There but for the grace of God.
Go I. And you know what? It's just like you want to have ultimately no control. Have someone in your family get terminally ill or have someone die, and you cannot do a thing about it.
My father.
And it'll really teach you powerlessness.
Yeah. I was 10 years sober when my dad died. So it is powerlessness.
Yeah, you can't do a thing. You can't do a thing. What would you tell someone? Someone that has someone close to them.
That was dead? Oh.
You mean in the program or just in general?
No, in the program. I'm not so sure that the way I'd handle it in the program would be much different than I would handle it for someone not in the program.
I don't know. You know, I have a hard time talking to people who've just had a loved one pass away because I, you know, even though I've had people in my family that I was very close to die, it's always been an expected death. We've never had somebody die in a car crash or suddenly get a terminal illness and be gone in a month. Or, I mean, it's always been somebody who died after drinking for 60 years or somebody died at 85 because they had cancer for a year. I mean, it's always something that, you know, when your relative gets to be 93, you're kind of expecting them to pass away. You know, my great-grandmother...
Maybe.
And I was still devastated. My great-grandmother died at 101, and she was one of my favorite people in the whole world, and I was just absolutely devastated, and I was crying about it all the time, and I was just weepy, and people would ask me what was wrong, and I'd say my granny died, and they'd say, oh, I'm so sorry, how old was she? And I would say, 101, and they would kind of look at me like, and?
And?
Yeah.
Like, you weren't expecting this?
She's been spending God's money for a while.
So I have a hard time when people have, like, a catastrophic death, like when your brother died. I wasn't really sure what to say to your mom because I haven't experienced that. I don't have that frame of reference. And I don't want to say something that would hurt her. So the most that I can say to people is, I'm very sorry for your loss. And see if there's anything that I can do.
And I'm not sure that that's any different, you know, in program as, you know, what you would do with anybody not in program. I mean, to me.
I got sober when I was 25. My 22-year-old cousin, about a year after I got sober, came into the rooms.
That makes you like 1,000 years old.
I know, in dog years. And he tried in and out and in and out and in and out. He actually went to Lost Heads Ranch, Bruce.
Oh.
And
nice.
And he tried and tried and tried. And 39 years old, he went to a meeting. Went out with a group from the meeting and went and shot pool afterwards, a couple blocks from his apartment, and walked home and dropped dead of a heart attack at 39 years old in front of his apartment. He hadn't used that day, but nobody really knows how many days or weeks or whatever he had. But I just know for 15 years he battled to get sober. And, you know, talk about not knowing what to say. You know, it's...
Yeah.
You know what? I was just thinking about it. I had a sponsee that died. Just a few years ago, a guy from Charter Oak Hospital. His name was Don.
Oh, yeah.
What a nice guy. Very, very quiet, but a nice guy. And could not get his meds right.
Right.
And he told me one day, he goes, I think I need to go back into Charter. And, you know, and I don't know a lot about meds because I've never taken meds, but I said, look, if you think your meds are off, they're probably off.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, go to the place. And he went into Charter, and whatever they were doing with his meds, he was in group and keeled over out of his chair in group. At, like a day, like during day, you know, it was regular treatment in the hospital, fell out of his thing, died.
That sucks.
I believe his family's suing Charter.
I would imagine something like that.
I've got a question for you.
Oh, good.
Oh.
I'll take dead people just for, in sobriety for 100.
Is this just for him?
No, you can answer it too.
Okay. It's a lightning round.
We talk about when somebody in the program dies, whether they were in or out. Is there any special virtue in dying sober? I mean, what is... For us, it seems to be that when someone in the program dies and they were still sober, oh, well, he died sober. Like, that was a huge achievement. And
yeah.
But would it be any less tragic if he died going out or whether
yes.
he was in or out?
Yes. Well, for me, if I'm going to get loaded before I die, why don't I just get loaded all along? I mean, I'll eventually die from getting loaded.
If a person goes out and dies, you'll never really know how much time they stole from themselves.
How much time what?
They stole from themselves.
Okay.
True.
What if they're 95 years old?
God bless them.
They decide to drink again, and they die not necessarily from the drinking, but just from being old.
You know what Shelly's doing? All people in Shelly's family live really old. She's setting herself up to go out when she's like 90. I'm telling you, listen to her.
I'm planning it now.
Listen to her.
Yep.
But I'm just wondering. I mean, I don't know. I don't honestly know that there's any special virtue in that.
So if you're smoking crack at 72.
Oh, 72 is a little young.
Your wife will call up the CA hotline and talk to me.
Didn't we have a boozy news story about that? About somebody that was like.
Oh, no.
Someone called me on the
CA hotline. That's right. That's what it was. Okay.
I'm not sure you should be talking about this a whole lot.
Yeah. Her name was. I can't remember what her name was. But it was a name that was obviously an old person name. Yeah, my husband's out smoking crack. I'm like, how old are you? Or I asked her, I said, ma'am, do you mind if I ask how old you are? 73. Your husband is how old? 74. He's out smoking crack? Nice. So, any final words, Shelly?
I don't know.
Didn't mean to stump
you. Yeah, I know you stumped me. Death's a bitch, but we gotta go sometime.
Okay. That sounded like she was trying to do one of those like Mark one-liners, and it just kind of went sideways.
No, I just couldn't think of anything. That's the closest I can get to a final word. A final word. Goodbye.
Okay. Mark.
Yeah.
Final words.
I'd rather die with this disease than from this disease.
There you go.
That's a good one.
I was going to throw out a pearl of wisdom, but it wasn't as shiny as that pearl. So I'm going to say ditto. It's kind of like one of those things like I'd rather have a bottle in front of me, or I'd rather have a frontal lobotomy than a bottle in front of me. And I'm not even sure if I would rather do that. Shelley.
What?
Wow. Who are our friends online?
That would be intherooms.com. An online recovery community. You can put up a profile, meet some people in the A of your choice, go to online chats and meetings, go to Friends of Recovery 101 and listen to the show on our embedded player. And please leave a comment and a like.
Yes.
And it's all free.
You know, that's a good thing to point out. If you're listening to this show from a place, a location that's like not iTunes, if you can push like on the player, please do it. And if you can comment, doesn't even matter what it is. Comment is, hey guys, how you doing? Whatever. Apparently, some of the new ranking systems on podcasts are that
those are counting
now. Include comments and likes. So do that for us. That would be awesome. Mark.
Yes.
Who are our friends back east?
That'd be Bruce.
The other white meat.
The city of bromance.
Pillow I talked to a guy from Pittsburgh today, and he's like, we are way different than Philadelphia. And he said, we are way, he goes, Philadelphia does not have a football team that ranks like our football
team.
They
do too.
Oh, I know, but he was all about the Steelers.
Ask him how baseball season's going for him.
Yeah, I should have.
That's right. And anyway.
The city of bromance.
That's right. He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com. You can go online and read his fantastic publication. You can get it emailed to you, or you can get the subscription prescription.
Prescription. It sounds like you had a little bit of that prescription.
And he will send it to you in the post. If you're interested in a franchise, and you should be if you're not working right now. Contact Which Bruce, like and he will people. Give you all the information you need to have the 12-Step Gazette in your own little corner of the world.
What if I'd had too much prescription and I couldn't spell Gazette? How else could I find that page?
You probably couldn't spell recovery either.
Yeah, that's true.
You go to recovery101.net, go to our site, scroll down, you'll find the link, and click on it.
Have you ever noticed in a meeting before, have you ever heard people that are talking or they're reading, and they're reading, and they don't read that well? But they get to a word that's like some kind of like courtroom-related word like conviction, and they have no problem reading that. They'll be like, so Bill looked at him with conviction.
I've never noticed that.
Oh, you will now.
I always like when you give people the 12 traditions, you can tell how much time they have by whether or not they can say anonymity.
Not necessarily.
I know some people that have a number of years that still say anonymity.
Yeah,
I tell people you're cured.
But they're morons.
And autonomous. If you can do autonomous,
yeah,
you're cured. You're
autonomous?
We've got email addresses at recovery_101@hotmail.com, recovery101radio@gmail.com, recovery101radio@hotmail.com. You can join our crack staff. That's right, the crack staff. Join us on the crack staff. That's our crack advertising staff. We actually have a new guy on our crack advertising staff.
We do.
At least for the area where we're in.
Making buckets of money.
Butt loads. I don't want to see how he gets it up there, but, you know. However. Send us an email at recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We will get you hooked up with a buttload. It's a cinnamon ring thing. What?
You've just totally gone disgusting.
Would that make the area around it a Cinnabon?
Cinnabon.
Oh.
Cinnabon. I like that.
Little gooey.
We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62. And Shelly, who's the lead on music by?
First, I have to have an incredibly massive official eye roll.
Okay.
Okay, now that you've had that, is that because the band is going to suck?
No, because Mark being you being gross.
Why? You were the one that started out all this sex talk earlier.
We were talking about dessert. What are you talking about? See? See the thoughts that she has in her head?
You know what? I was talking breakfast cereals. He was talking desserts. What are you talking?
Yeah, right.
What?
You were talking about buttloads, and he went off with it.
Apple Jacks, cinnamon rings, they sound like breakfast cereals to me.
I wonder if there's a cinnamon ring breakfast cereal.
In jail.
Ooh. Oh. Lead out music. Let's go with 6 a.m.
Sweet. Oh, I haven't heard from them in a while.
No.
Which one? You got one?
No. I'll have to look at the list.
All right, everyone, try and leave it better than you found it, and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
Listen, just a matter of policy.